may be here for the very first time and you just said, man, what just happened up front for like an hour? You know, well, here's one thing that the church literally has gotten away from, is that God said this, and then Jesus emphasized this in his ministry while he was here for the 3.5 years that he was actually in ministry. And he said this, my house shall be called a house of prayer. It seems like today in our society, it would be like this now. Our church is called a house of enterprising. That's not what God said. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, my house, God's house, shall be called a house of prayer. And now the thing is that we are the house of God. We are the church people, not this building. This building is a place where the church, us, God's people, sons and daughters, where we come and worship our Heavenly Father. And so our house, or our bodies, the Bible says, have become the temple of living God. We have become the house of God. Therefore, our house should be a house of prayer. Should be a house of prayer. Can you say amen? Amen. And we're going to continue to our worship. We're going to receive our tithes and our offerings. Can you say amen? And let me just say this, that at the end of the service, there are envelopes there. If you'd like to use the envelopes, there's envelopes in front of your seat. At the end of the service, all of our ushers will be at the back doors with our offering bucket. And you can take it, you can fill out your envelope at any time. If you're making out a check, you can just put CLC, and then you can just drop it in. Or there's actually an offering box that is back outside in the atrium, and you can do that there. Or you can do it online. You can text to do it. You can do it online, which is very secure. But as we move into receiving the offering, I have always, and this is the way the Lord has taught me to receive the offering. He just simply said this, teach my people my word. Teach them my word. And those who respond to my word, those who are obedient to my word, he said, I will bless them. Because how many of you know that obedience is better than sacrifice? Obedience to God's word. So I want to take this scripture out of Genesis 21. Don't yell. This is just the offering. We shout at the word when we start this. I'll let you know when I'm starting my message. Okay, so this is the offering. So in Genesis 26:1, it starts out with this. And it starts out with the son of Abraham. And how many of you know that the Bible says we are the seed of Abraham? Amen? And that the blessings of Abraham are ours. Okay, so Isaac is facing a time of famine. You could say he's facing a time of inflation, high inflation. You know, somebody told me the other day the reason that Jesus is coming back on horses that you see in the book of Revelation is because the gas prices are so high. But let me just share this with you. I did get gas the other day for $1.39. Unfortunately, it was at Taco Bell. So anyway. I might not recover from that. So there was a famine in the land. You could say there was like inflation, there was like recession, everything was going on, but there was a famine in the land. And it says it in Genesis 26:1, there was a famine. And then look at Genesis 26:12, because God has given Isaac some instructions. And the family, regardless of what may be going on in our environment and around us, your God will supply, not might, not maybe, he will supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He is still Jehovah Jireh. He is the Lord who provides. I love this because one of the main definitions of Jehovah Jireh, which is a name for God, in the Hebrew is this. Jehovah Jireh also means this. I will see to that. I will see to that. In other words, when you come before El Shaddai, when you come before the all-sufficient one, when you come before the one that is all-powerful, you come before the one that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. When you come before the Lord and you pray according to some need that you have, God says, I will see to that. And that's when we give thanksgiving and praise. But watch this. Then Isaac sowed seed in that land and received in the same year 100 times as much as he had planted. And the Lord favored him with blessings. Folks, this is in the middle of famine. You're not supposed to have a harvest in the middle of famine unless you are favored and blessed by God. And do you know what happened? He was so favored and blessed by God in the middle of this famine that the Philistines, the Bible says, envied him. Actually, the Philistines came to attack him. What they did is they tried to cover up his wells. Put dirt on and all of his wells. But the Bible says that did not deter Isaac. He went right back and redug the wells. And God blessed him even more. So does that have anything to do with us in the New Testament? Absolutely. Listen to this scripture in 2 Corinthians 9, chapter, verse 8 and 11. And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come in abundance to you, so that you always, under all circumstances, whether there's inflation, recession, whatever is going on, under all circumstances, regardless of the need, have complete sufficiency in everything, being completely self-sufficient in Him, and have an abundance for every good work and act of charity. As it is written, forever remains written, He, the benevolent and generous person, scattered abroad. He gave to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who provides seed for the sower, that's God, and bread for food will provide and multiply your seed for sowing. That's exactly what happened to Isaac. That is your resources and increase the harvest of your righteousness, which shows itself in active goodness, kindness, and love. And you will be enriched in every way so that you may be generous. And this generosity administered through us, because we give to missions, we give to local missions, world missions. We give in so many places that through us is producing thanksgiving to God from those who benefit from it. And that's what we had. We could, every single Sunday, we could show video after video after video after video after video of people that we as a church have helped, that they have kept going preaching the gospel, the things that they're doing, feeding people, the homeless, and all of the areas that we're involved in. And so when you start giving, God says, I will multiply your seed for giving. But let me just say this real quickly before I close on this. If you keep your seed in the barn, seed can't multiply in the barn. In other words, you can count the seeds when you cut open a watermelon or a cantaloupe. You can count the seeds in it. But you cannot count the number of watermelons that are in one seed that you plant. One seed. There's always an abundance. There's always an increase. So when you sow the seed of your finances into God's work, God says, I will multiply it. Not only will I multiply it, but I will favor you and I will bless you. That's God's word. Can you say amen? Amen. Let me just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we come before you today, I thank you for each and every person, Father God, all of us, Lord, as we give our tithes and our offerings. And I pray that you will multiply their seed for sowing, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord God, that you will supply all of their need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for those that may be looking for work. I thank you for opening a door. effectual door for a great job in the name of Jesus. I pray that you bless the work of the hands of each and every person. Bless every business, every practice, whatever it may be, Father, bless them. And those that are working for other businesses, other companies, bless those companies, Father God, so that they will be blessed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So, like I said, if you want a text to give, you can do that, or you can go on our website, and there's a place to do that. Amen. Now we're going to get into the Word. Can you say amen? Amen. I believe that I have not only the Word for you today, but I believe that I have a prophetic word for you. As we start a brand new series called No More. No More. And today, I want to address one of the most dreaded spirits that there is in all of the universe. That is the spirit of fear. Turn to your neighbor and say, no more fear. No more fear. Tired of that. It doesn't mean that we don't have the symptoms of fear. Anything that happens that goes opposite of the way we think that things should happen, there is a tendency for the spirit of fear to attack us, attack our minds, to attack our emotions. Literally, can attack, if it's left intact, can attack our physical bodies and attack our mental disposition. And so God is very clear in 2 Timothy, the first chapter, verse 7, he says this. He says, God has not given us a spirit of fear. Say this with me. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And it's amazing because the word sound mind also means this is one of the part of the fruit of the Spirit. It means self-discipline. Self-discipline, the ability by the Holy Spirit to discipline ourselves in certain things that we may face, certain circumstances, issues that we may face. So when we look at today and we see everything that is going on, there's only one book that has been written, and it was written prophetically, and it was written by the Spirit of God. Yes, it was through men, but the Bible says that all Scripture is God-breathed. It came through the writing as the Holy Spirit inspired these men to put together the Word of God, which we call the Bible. It is the only book in all of the world that actually prophesies perfectly and truthfully and lets you know exactly what's going to be taking place before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. So today, I believe that we have entered what Jesus called the birth pains and are experiencing the exact description that the Bible gives us concerning the last of the last days. Let me read to you what the Apostle Paul said. In 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verse 1, he said this, but understand this. In other words, he said, listen, wrap your mind around this. Understand this. Let the wisdom of God speak to you that in the last days, and the word last days there in the Greek means the last of the last days before the return of Jesus. He said, in the last days, dangerous times of great stress and trouble will come. Difficult days that will be hard to bear. The Bible also says it will be perilous times. The word perilous means fierce, violent. Times that are going to be extremely difficult. Jesus said in Matthew, the 24th chapter, verse 10 through 14, he says this. He said, at that time, many will be offended and repelled by their association with me. In other words, that says that there's going to be a lot of persecution taking in these last days. He said, and will fall away from the one who they should trust and will betray one another, handing over believers to their persecutors, and will hate one another. Wow, we're seeing so much of that with racial division today. It says, and then he says in verse 11, many false prophets will appear and mislead many. That's happening everywhere right now. He said, because lawlessness is increased, the love of the most people will grow cold. And that love means, the word love is agape, means the love of God will begin to grow cold. The love for His Word, the love for coming together like we do in church, the love for community of the believers. He says this in verse 13, but the one who endures and bears up under suffering to the end will be saved. You know, Jesus said it in John 16:33. He said, in this world, He said, you will have tribulation. He said, you're going to have troubles. You're going to have tough times. You're going to have issues. You're going to have things that are going to happen. But He said, but be of good cheer. And the word be of good cheer means this, be of good courage, because I have overcome. Everything that comes to you, I have overcome it. And now, thank God that we can receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. He comes to live on the inside of us. So therefore, if the overcomer is living on the inside of us, that makes me an overcomer. But I have to do it by faith. I have to fight the fight of faith. And then he says this, this good news of the kingdom, the whole gospel, will be preached throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. Now watch this, and then the end will come. That's amazing, because he said those that are responsible to see the end coming, and the Father makes that decision. The Bible says this, even Jesus doesn't even know the day the Father will say, go get my people. But at the same time, it does not, no matter what is happening, no matter what Jesus is saying, it does not diminish in any way, shape, or form our carrying out the Great Commission. Matter of fact, it is more important. It's always important. But today, we have more people on the face of the earth than there has ever been in the history of mankind. Now, I don't know what you see. A lot of scientists and other crazy people, what they see is that's too many people. We need to get rid of people. That's too many people. We need to get rid of people. That's too many people. Earth can't sustain this. Where do you find that in the Word of God? I can't believe how many Christians are believing these people that are making statements that is totally contrary to the Word of God, and we listen to this and take it in, and we fill ourselves full of fear. When God is the one who said, be fruitful and multiply. And the Bible says, God says, the earth is mine and the fullness thereof. And so God can supply every single need that we have. He can supply for the whole human race. We know that, because when the Israelites, there were anywhere from a million and a half to 2 million people that came out of Egypt. And when they came out, God supplied every single need. Even if he has to do it supernaturally, even if he has to fire up the ovens in heaven to rain down manna for you to eat, he can do that. He can pull water out of a rock, and he doesn't need to call a plumbing company to be able to do it. He doesn't need to have somebody come in and lay pipe. That's my God. That's who he is. That's the God I've known for 51 years. And he says this. He said, I am the Lord and I do not change. So it's our responsibility. You know, people are saying, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And there's nothing wrong with that, because they were doing that in the early church. But yet at the same time, I look at the harvest field that is out there. It is amazing. And so, and then in Jude, the first chapter, verse 18 and through 21, Jude says this, therefore, are they told you beforehand, in the last days, in the end time, there will be scoffers who seek to gratify their own unholy desires, following after their own ungodly passions. It is these who are agitators, setting up distinctions and causing divisions. I wonder if he's talking about TV. Social media. Maybe he's seeing this in the future and prophesying. So he said there will be agitators setting up distinctions, coming up with theories that will cause division, divide us, put us back into segregation. The Bible tells us that this will be here. The Bible says this will happen. And he says, and who are these people? He says right here, merely sensual creatures, carnal, that means fleshly, worldly-minded people, devoid of the Holy Spirit and destitute of any higher spiritual life. But you, I love it that every time we look at something that could possibly scare us or intimidate us, God puts a big but in it. He sticks a big but. Well, get your minds out of the... I'm talking about an English word. It's not got an extra T to it. It's just one T. But God sticks... Now, watch this. God is always sticking a big but. And it's His right in the middle of what looks like to be chaos, confusion, and fear. But you, beloved, build yourselves up, founded on your most holy faith, and make progress. Rise like an edifice, higher and higher. God didn't say regress. God didn't say retreat. God didn't say run and go hide. God said, you should be making progress right now. My question is to you, are you making progress in your relationship with God? Are you making progress in the Word of God? Because what we just read a while ago is that the only foundation that will stand in this last days is going to be the foundation of God's Word and those who will believe Him. He said this, he said, rise like an Ephesus, higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit. Well, there was an emphasis on that in our praise and worship, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And let me just encourage you, because I came out of a very religious denomination that said all of that stuff is past, it's gone, it's not, and they even said it was of the devil, it's not of God. It's all in the Bible. How can it not be of God if it was in the Bible? And the same God that said Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit, when he said, I will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire, the same Jesus, the Bible says, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Jesus who was baptizing with fire yesterday is baptizing with fire in the Holy Spirit today, and he will continue to baptize in fire until he comes back. Excuse me while I just preach just a little bit. And he says, guard and keep yourselves in the love of God. Guard and keep yourselves in the love of God. He said, expect and patiently wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, which will bring you unto life eternal. So why would the Bible be full of giving us prophetic words about the last days? Is it so that we could live in fear and live in despair and hopelessness? No, absolutely not. Turn to your neighbor and say, no. Do it like you're from the South with five syllables. No! He did it so that we would have knowledge and understanding concerning the upcoming world issues, the seasons, and the timetables that God has set for Himself, which strengthens our resolve to be faithful and committed. For us to rebuke the spirit of fear, to seek God's wisdom and not draw back, but move forward. Everybody say, move forward. Move forward. Turn to your neighbor and say, go forward. Go forward. Not backing up. With confidence in our God and His promises. Listen to what the Bible says in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 35 and 39. It says, do not, therefore, fling away your fearless confidence. Don't fling it away. Let me tell you what the devil is after. The devil's after your confidence. Let me just say this. If you're born again, you don't belong to the devil anymore. You belong to God. Okay? So his job is going to do everything he can to bring circumstances, issues into your life or around you because he wants to take and steal your confidence. He doesn't want you to have confidence in God. He wants you to get into doubt, and then he wants you to get into unbelief. So, and then there's times that we go through testings and things of that nature, and because we live in an instant society, I mean, how many times do you drive by a drive-thru getting ready to go in and see that there's about 5 or 6 cars in the line and you go somewhere else? Because I can't have it instantly. I can't have it that moment at that time. We live in this instant society. And that's not the way it works in the Bible. It is not the way it works in the kingdom of God. But let me just say this. Just because when you pray something there may be a delay, delay does not mean failure. And just because we're being tested and tried going through something is because God's going to bring you through it, because on the other side, there is going to be a testimony to his glory, his faithfulness, and his power, and that testimony is going to be used to set somebody else free, to help somebody to go through their testings and their trials and their tribulations. So he says, do not therefore fling away your fearless confidence, for it has a glorious and great reward. For you have need of patient endurance. That's a word Americans do not like. Patience. Patience. I remember my wife used to say this to me, honey, have patience with me. No, let's do it right now. Just be patient. I'm working on something. Just be patient. Okay. And 30 seconds later, you through? No, he says, have patience. Patience. You're going to walk through some things, but be patient. Doesn't mean you're not fighting the fight of faith. Doesn't mean that you're not resisting the devil. But be patient, because that which you have prayed and that which you are standing on and that which God has promised, it will happen. It will come through, because God is not a man that he should lie. He's faithful to his word and to his promises. It might not happen today or tomorrow or 1 month. It's going to happen. I mean, Abraham's promise was 25 years in the making. The Bible says in Romans, the 4th chapter, he kept giving praise and honor to God during that whole time. He kept praising him. I know your word's true. I know what you said. Your word is true. Your word is true. Your word is true. Your word is true. I'm standing on your word, Lord. Your word is true. He said, therefore, do not fling away your fearless confidence, for it has glorious and great reward. If you don't give up, you don't throw in the towel, you don't quit, the Bible says it's going to be a glorious and great reward, because God is able to do above anything that you even think or ask. So he says, for you have need of patient endurance to bear up under difficult circumstances without compromising, so that when you have carried out the will of God, you may receive and enjoy to the full of what is promised. For yet, in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one, that's us, the ones justified by faith, shall live by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Respecting man's relationship to God and trusting him. If he draws back, God does not like people that go AWOL. God does not. It doesn't mean that he doesn't love us. One thing we've got to understand is this. There is a difference between who God loves and what he likes. I mean, he loves the whole world, for God so loved the world. He loves his children. He loves every single one of us. But what I want to make sure is that he likes what I'm doing. That I please him. I bring pleasure to him. Not that I'm perfect. Not that I don't fail. Not that I don't miss it at times. Absolutely, I do. Just like all of the rest of us that are in the body of Christ. But at the same time, my whole focus, the drive that drives me, and I don't do it to receive something from him. I just want to please him. He's the one who saved me. He's the one who delivered me out of the hells of fire. He's the one that set me free. He's the one that ransomed me and redeemed me. He did that. So I want to live a life to please him. That means that there has been many times I've lost many friends in my life. Because I desire more than anything else to please my Father. Because when I stand before him, I want to hear those words. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. He said, shall live by faith, respecting man's relationship to God, trusting him. If he draws back, shrinking in what? Shrinking in what?
Fear.
Shrinking in what?
Fear.
Which means that was so good. Who did that? Who said that? I'm so proud of you. Say it. No. You say it one more time. Shrinking in what? Not shrinking in what? Say it loud. Fear. There you go. Yes. I love it. I'm just going to preach to them the whole time. So he said, if he draws back, shrinking in fear, my soul has no delight in him. It doesn't mean he doesn't love him. Okay? He says, but our way is not of those who shrink back to destruction, but we are those who believe, relying on God through faith in Jesus Christ, the Messiah. By this confident faith, preserve the soul. Confident faith. So let me say this to you real quick. So what is God's prophetic word right now to not only covenant love, but to the body of Christ? What is God saying to us? Because we have just come through some trials. Would you say so? And not only that, we're going through some trials. Okay? The Bible says we go from faith to faith, but it looks like to me we're going from trial to trial, to tribulation, from test to test. But what gets us through all of that is going from faith to faith in every trial, every tribulation, every circumstance, every issue that we face. And let me just throw this in as a little rabbit trail right now, because the majority of us, we don't need the devil putting things in our mind. You know why? Because we actually do a better job than the devil, condemning ourselves, judging ourselves, putting ourselves down, making ourselves look like that we're nothing, we're worthless. How could God use me? That's all of a lie from the pit of hell. That is not who it is. And the Bible says this. It says this in 1 John. If our minds condemn us, if our minds judge us, if our minds put us down, he said, God is greater than our minds. It's the greater one that lives on the inside of you. Quit looking at yourself the way you've looked at yourself all of these years. Get yourself in God's word. It is a mirror, and let you see what God says about you and who you are. It's amazing. That's called the renewing of the mind. So we're not thinking the way we used to think. See the way we used to see. So the question is this. Who will we rely on and put our trust in? Let me just say this. Isaiah, when he was prophesying to the children of Israel, the children of Israel had been blessed. They had prospered. The promises were being fulfilled. Man, everything in their life, every need was being met. The problem was they were becoming comfortable in their blessings. They kind of worshiped, but it was not the worship that God required. And they got their eyes on the world and the culture at that time, and they started gradually, little bit by little bit, adding a lot of the culture to their own worship services, to the way they lived, which was contrary to the way God had called them to live. And eventually what they started doing is they started embracing more of the world's and the culture standards than they did God's. So then God raises up Isaiah, and Isaiah comes in and says, hey, guys, I got something to tell you. Basically, it was Judah, the house of praise. And Isaiah comes in and says, let me just say something to you right now. You're going in the wrong direction. You're going in the wrong way. You're regressing. You're not progressing. Your lifestyle and the way that you're doing things, you're relying more on the culture and the world and the systems. And I could say today, political parties, you're relying more on those things, and you're relying more on men and women to be your source, and you're putting people on a pedestal. We've even done that in churches. So when you put a pastor or an evangelist or a prophet or anybody else on a pedestal, if that man or woman falls, you fall away. There's only one person that's on the throne. There's only one person that is to be lifted up. The only person to be lifted up and glorified and praised is Jesus. So here's what he said in Isaiah 31:1. He's coming. All of a sudden, he comes down and starts prophesying. He starts prophesying all the trouble and all the shaking and all the tribulation that they're going to face because they've gotten away from their pursuit. They've gotten away from their first love. So Isaiah starts prophesying to them. And you get over to the first chapters of Isaiah, and he says something like this. He said, listen. He said, this is what you're doing right now. He said, you're calling good evil and evil good. He said, you're calling what is bitter sweet and what is sweet bitter. And he said, that's not the way God functions. That's not the way he operates. That's not the way he moves. That's not the way he wants you to do things. So he says this in Isaiah 31:1. He said, what sorrow awaits those who look to Egypt for help. Egypt is a type and a shadow in the Bible of the whole world system. Now, if you don't know what the Bible says concerning the world system, if you read it, you will find out that the Bible is very clear that the devil is the god, little g, of this world system. That's the reason the Bible says the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our God when Jesus returns. So he's the one that orchestrates, puts it all together. He's the one that causes it to be anti-God, anti-Jesus. He's the one that comes up with religions. He's the one that comes up with theories. He's the one that comes up with all kinds of rhetoric to put pressure on you to make you think that, well, maybe there are other ways to heaven. Maybe there are other religions that you can get involved in. Maybe science is a religion. Maybe I should worship that. Maybe I should get my eyes on that. And God comes and says, any man who trusts in man above me, he said, that person eventually will fall. And everything that you believe in will fall. See, when Jesus was being tempted, think about this. In the wilderness, Jesus is being tempted. Let me just real quickly emphasize this, that when he was being tempted, the devil comes to him, and the devil, how he did this, we don't really know. We just know he had the ability to do it. The devil showed him in a moment of time all of the glory, all of the glamour of this world. All of its systems, all of it. The glory of man, the glory of what he's put together. And he says this to Jesus. He said, now let me say, if you'll just take a moment, bow your knee and worship me. He said, look at this. All of this I will give to you. And then he said this, because it's been given to me and I can give it to whoever I want to. I know that that is a fact. Because the other day, somebody sent me a video as a pastor had put together some videos. And three ladies that are on the top of the charts, three ladies who sell albums like crazy, they were interviewing the three ladies separately. One lady says, oh yeah, when I get up on stage, she said, my demons come with me. She said, they give me the power to do the things that I do. It's right out of her mouth. The other one got this brooch or brochure that was given to her, and she looked at it and she said, you got to be kidding me. Where did this come from? And they were talking about how it came from some archaeological dig. And she said, oh, this is amazing. She said, I channel her every night. She said, I'll sleep with this. And it goes on and on in concerts where there's pentagrams actually on the stage. And the sad thing is, Christians listen to it like crazy. And think, oh, that's harmless. Pastor, I've had people say this to me. That's just harmless. Come on. That's just, music is music. Oh, really? It opens the door to your soul. And believe me, if you don't believe that demons ride in on those notes and those chords and those words, you are sadly mistaken. They do. Demonic spirits have not disappeared when Jesus went back to heaven. They're doing the same deception, doing the same attacks that they've always done. And the Bible says in Revelation 12th chapter, knowing, the devil says, knowing that his time is short, he comes with a great wrath. Wrath also comes within his wrath is deception. Big time deception. And he uses all of the media, everything that he can, to bring that deception, to get you to walk away from God, to get you to not to be on fire, but to pour water on your fire. To try to get you, and his biggest weapon is to get you into confusion. Even confusion who you are. Confusion how you were born. So it says, what sorrow awaits those who look to Egypt for help, trusting their horses and chariots and charioteers and depending on the strength of human armies instead of looking to the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. The Bible says in Psalms 20, verse 7 and 8, some nations boast of their chariots and their horses, but we boast in the name of the Lord our God. Thank God on our money, it still says, in God we trust. But you can look around and you can see how everything, prayer, the Ten Commandments, all of these things have been eliminated. To take, in other words, so that somebody will not see those things, because when you see it, it'll bring conviction if you're not living the life that you're called to live. So the greatest attack that you will see in these last days is this, if you are going to stand for truth. Truth would be attacked. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Romans, the first chapter, that one of the things that people will do in the last days is suppress the truth. The reason they suppress the truth is because the truth is the spirit of the Holy Spirit, the spirit of truth. The spirit of truth convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And people do not want to be convicted of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And today, if you even talk about sin and what sin does, you will be labeled a bigot. If you speak for the truth of God's word, you will be labeled. But it's only the truth that can set you free. It is only the truth that can keep you free. It is only the truth that the Holy Spirit will move on somebody to open their eyes to the truth, to let them know and convict them of sin, righteousness, and judgment, because there is a judgment coming. Nobody wants to talk about it anymore. But as a former lifeguard at the ocean, I have a responsibility. We, as pastors, teachers, fivefold ministry, we have a responsibility to warn people there is a judgment coming. And when people say, I belong to my own, I belong to myself. No, you don't, sweetheart. I got news for you. Every single one of us belong to God, and one day we're going to stand and give an account to Him. And one day, if you continue to attack Jesus and you die in your sin, there will be one day that you will bow your knee and confess Jesus is the Lord of all. But you don't have to die like that. You can have life and life more abundantly. You can have faith. You can have love and joy that only comes through Jesus Christ. So, here's a question real quickly. Y'all give me a few more minutes. How many of you give me 5 minutes? Let me see. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. Thank you. Thank you. I'll have you home before dark. Listen to this. The question is, will we go forward fiercely in faith, or will we let our love for God, His Word, the Great Commission, seeing people saved, serving and involved, giving sacrificially and praying fervently, will we allow it to grow cold and become lukewarm? Or will we retreat in fear? Well, here's the word that God has for you today. I'll go through this as quick as possible. It is amazing. We have 168 hours in the week, and we give church two. And we wonder sometimes why we struggle so much. Because my question is, what do we give the other 166 hours to? That's the key in our lives. Listen, Isaiah 43, here's God's butt again. He's butting right in. All of a sudden, God is telling them about judgment. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And God is telling the children of Israel, telling the house of Judah, this is what's coming, this is what's happening. And all of a sudden, this shaking went on. There was they were going through a lot of trouble, a lot of suffering, a lot of ups and downs, a lot of hard times, a lot of famine and financial straits and all kinds of things that were going on at that particular time. And we've probably been through two of the toughest years that we have ever seen. But ladies and gentlemen, please read the Word of God, because the Bible says that it will get darker. But I got news for you. When it comes to the church, the Bible says His light will shine brighter than ever before. The power of God will be seen upon His church. The church that loves Him, that goes after Him, that seeks after Him, that keeps Him as their first love. You're going to see the power of God. You're going to see signs, wonders, and miracles. I'm telling you, it's coming. A third great awakening is here. So here God comes, and He gets right out of all the stuff that they've been through, and He says this in 43 verse 1, but now, I got news for some of you. Some of you have suffered, gone through crazy things in the last 2 years, but God's sticking His butt now into your situation right now. There is a transition and a shift that is getting ready to take place in the body of Christ. Just like on the day of Pentecost, when there was a transition and there was a shift that took place, first in the spirit realm, and then it manifested in the earth through the disciples. I'm I'm telling you, some of them have been hanging on by your fingernails. But right now, God's but now is coming in to your situation. God's but now is coming in to the church that is seeking him. But now, when the devil comes in like a flood, God is raising up a standard against him. But now. Turn to your neighbor and say, I don't know what you've been going through, but now. But now, this is what the Lord, your Creator, says, O Jacob. If you ever want to get a pick-me-up from what the devil's trying to put you down, you come to this scripture and you look at what God is saying. First of all, he created you. He created you. And he did not create you in some confused state. Culture tells you you're not who God says you are. Culture tells you, no, I know biologically that's who, but that's not really who you are. Listen to what Jesus, this is the words of Jesus. And he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning, created them, made them male and female, and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Then he said, be fruitful and multiply. He said he created you. Ladies and gentlemen, don't let culture mess you up and mess the minds of your children up. Don't let them indoctrinate your kids into their false beliefs and deceptions. You need to tell your kids who they are. And you need to know who you are. He says, your Creator says, he formed you. Oh, Israel, he formed you. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the one who has formed you. And he's forming us right now into the image of Christ. He formed you. And I'm going to tell you, you can read in Romans, your character is being formed when you're going through tough times. Your trust in God is being formed. If you don't have tough times, there's no purpose for faith. There's no purpose for trust. You can just breeze along, sipping your lemonade. No, listen to me. God formed you. Don't let anybody define or label you that is in opposition of who God says that you are and how he created you. Don't let TikTok tell you who you are. Anybody on there, anybody on social media, Snapchat or whatever it is, you don't know nothing about them, and yet they put pressure on you. That's good preaching, Pastor. I'm telling you right now, that's good preaching. Listen to this. Listen to what he says. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you from captivity. I have redeemed you. Folks, you know how valuable you are? How valuable are you that God would send his own son to ransom you from the captivity of sin and Satan? That's how valuable you are. Moms, let me tell you again how valuable you are. I wear a tie once a year. It's to honor Mother's Day. All you moms. All you moms. You won't see this next week. But I honor you. But let me tell you, listen, how valuable are you? He sent Jesus to redeem you. Come on, folks. Why are you listening to all this stuff on social media and all this stuff that people are telling you, and you're trying to live up to somebody else's standards? You're trying to be accepted and affirmed and liked by people who really don't like you. I'm telling you, one day they'll be singing your hosannas, and the next day they'll be crying, crucify. Let me tell you who loves you beyond your comprehension. If you ever get a revelation of the love of God, the depth of God's love, the width of God's love, the height of God's love, just for you, It'll change you forever and ever and ever. And you won't fear anything. You won't even fear death. The Bible says in Revelation, the 12th chapter, he's coming. He said in that when he knows his time short, he'll come with a great wrath to attack. Not only attack the unbeliever, but the believer. And the Bible says this, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Now listen to this. We like to stop right there. But let me tell you what the next word says. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives even to the death. That's what I call committed Christians. Right there. Now watch this. He said, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You're not a number in heaven. He knows your name. He calls my name in prayer. He knows your name. He knows where you live. He knows what you do. He sees everything. He's even numbered the hairs on top of your head. Some of us, he doesn't have to count very often, much now. But he knows the numbers of the hair on your head. How valuable you are you if he numbers the hairs on your head. He said, I called you by name. Watch this. You are mine. You are God's property. And let me tell you something. God takes care of his property. You're mine. You are a joint heir with God, a joint heir with Jesus, an heir of God, and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. If you are in covenant with God and you're an heir of God, there is nothing that you ask in accordance to his will that he won't do. But as long as you see yourself as just, I'm just no good. I don't deserve this. I don't do it. Yeah. That's not who you are. You know, people say, well, I'm just an old worm. Oh, really? Is there any worm sitting at the right hand of God in heaven? Because you're seated in Christ Jesus, and he ain't got worms. You're seated at the right hand. That's how valuable you are. You've called you by name. You are mine. And when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Did you know the word waters there? Listen, this is the literal definition in the Hebrew of the word waters there. It is a stinky water. It is a stagnant water. It is a swampy water. Actually, the definition means it's waters of urine. Everybody say, ooh. That's exactly what it is. He said, when you're walking through these stinking times, when you're walking through the swamps of life, when you're walking through these waters, these issues, these problems, these situations that don't smell good, don't look good. He said, when you're walking through these waters, I will be with you. And by the way, every time you find waters in the Bible going all the way back to Genesis, the first chapter, Genesis, the ninth chapter, when you find waters, waters always, always represent a transition. A transition into something new. We've been walking through some stinking waters in the last 2 years. But I'm telling you, God's putting his butt now, right now, as a shift into where you are inside of these waters. There is a transition that is taking place in the church of Jesus Christ. There is a shift that is getting ready to happen. Telling you, you're coming out of some of the stuff that the devil's loaded up on top of you. Why, Pastor? Why? But now. He said, I've called you when you pass through the waters. Listen, when the waters cover the earth, Noah's in the ark, it was a transition into something new. When they came, when the children of Israel came to the Red Sea, God split the Red Sea. They walked through the waters. It was a transition that was taking place, coming into the blessings of God. When the children of Israel with Joshua got ready to go over the Jordan, And God split the waters. They went Joshua had to put his foot in. It was because a transition was getting ready to take place. That's what God is calling us to do. Go forward in the midst of these waters, because I am with you, because there is a shift. There is a transition that is getting ready to take place. Listen to this. Even when Jesus came down to the Jordan and he was baptized and went into the waters and was baptized, he was transitioned into his ministry. Some of you are getting ready to transition into a new thing, into a new season. You're getting ready to transition into something that God has waited and waited and waited, but now is the time. You're getting ready, and the devil has fought you. He's tried to knock you down. He's tried to suffocate you. He's tried to kill you. He's tried to do everything that he can. But now, God's putting his butt now right into it. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers. Wait a minute, there's more water. Rivers. But rivers, it indicates here in the Hebrew something else. It indicates clean water. It indicates flowing water where there is life. The Bible says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. He said, when you pass and through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. Listen to me very carefully. Y'all got just a few more minutes. Just listen to me. Listen, we got 168 hours coming up in the week, so just give me a few more minutes. He said, and through the rivers. Now watch this. The word rivers also, listen to me very carefully, the word rivers in the Hebrew also indicates a new prosperity. Are you hearing me? And here's what the Spirit of God was showing me. He said, everything you're reading and everything you're telling them, he said, don't get your eyes on the world, because the world will become darker. But I am getting ready to make a difference between my people and those who are not my people. And they, just like the Philistines envied Isaac, there's going to be an envy that is going to come. But the envy is not going to cause attack and run away. An envy is going to cause people come and say, what's going on in your life? What's happening in your life? If you want to obey God, if you want to listen to him, you want to walk with him no matter what it costs you, you want to do what he's calling you to do. He said, watch this, they will not overwhelm you. In other words, God told the children of Israel this: I'm going to give you the land little by little, little. Least if I give it to you all at one time, it will overwhelm you. It will destroy you. God says, I'm bringing revival, and it's going to be little by little. So it doesn't overwhelm you. It doesn't wear you out and cause you to be weary. He said, I'm bringing it little by little. The rivers are flowing, and whatever the rivers touch will bring healing. Wherever the rivers touch, the trees will live. And the Bible says we are the trees of righteousness. We are the oaks of righteousness. And wherever that water flows, that water is released, it will touch the nations. So many people in so many churches have dammed up the water, not allowing it to be released. What you saw this morning with what God had given me is the release of the rivers. It's the release of the rivers. In Ezekiel 47, he said, I saw, and there was a river, there was a stream coming out of heaven, and all of a sudden, it came to my ankle. It didn't overwhelm them all at one time. It said it came to my ankle, and then it came to my knee, and then it came to my waist, and it got so deep. A telling you right now, those that are praying, those that are believing God, those that are standing firm, I'm telling you right now, there is a river that's coming. I believe right now it is ankle deep, but I know this, it is rising. It is rising. Spirit of God is rising. When the enemy comes in like a flood, God will stand a standard against him. God, arise, oh God. Lift up your heads, oh ye gates. Lifting up your doors everlasting. I'm going to tell you this right now. Listen to me very carefully. When he talks about ankle and knee deep, it goes up to the waist. He's first talking about there's going to be first a remnant that is so hungry and thirsty for him. Knowing that I've seen everything else. I've seen the power of man. I've seen the power of systems. I've seen the power of everything. God, we need your power. God, I trust in you. God, I'm putting you first place in my life. I'm putting you first place. God, come and sit on the throne of your the praises of your people. God, you are the one that we look to. God, you are the one that we focus on. God, you are the one. We're returning to our first love. He said, and when you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. I'm telling you, there's some fire coming. There's some fire coming from the enemy. We've already seen a lot of the fire. But here's what the Lord put on my heart this week while I was praying about this whole thing. All of a sudden, the Lord drops this in my heart. But the church is going to have another fire. Now listen to this. It's going to have another, my people, my church is going to have another fire, and it's going to be a back burn. And here's what I said. What? Back burn? What? I'm thinking about my back getting burned. Okay, back burn. So I immediately went and looked up back burn. Gosh. Oh, excuse me just a moment while I just dance. Oh, Jesus. He said a back burn. I looked up the back burn. It says, firefighters, when they've got a fire going, they will come and they will back burn. In other words, they will set a fire in front of the fire. And what happens is when the fire they set meets the destructive fire, when it comes, it listen to this, it takes out all of the fuel and the oxygen of the fire that is burning, so there is nothing left. It blows it out. I'm telling you right now, God's setting up a backburn. I'm telling you right now that God, by the power and the fire of the Holy Spirit, is going to deplete the oxygen and the fuel of what the devil has been trying to do. Somebody shout Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, you might as well stand up and shout. You might as well stand up and give a roar in this house. You might say, God, I thank you for the fire. I thank you for the fire. I thank you for the fire. Hallelujah. Jesus. Listen. Hold on. You're still on my time. Just remain standing. Just remain standing for just a moment. Let me just finish this real quickly. You won't stand but about 2 or 3 more minutes. Listen to this. He said, nor will the flame burn you. Sometimes God will deliver you out of the fire, and sometimes he will fireproof you when you walk through the fire. I still know 3 Hebrew boys that would not bow their knee to the culture or to the system in the king took them and threw them in the furnace. And the king was sitting there going, hold it, wait a minute. And he told them, heat the furnaces 7 times hotter. They were so hot that the people that were throwing them in burned and died. They went into the fire, and the king said, wait a minute, something's wrong here. He said, I thought we threw 3 people in there. And they said, we did, but I see a fourth. I see the fourth man. I see a fourth man in the middle of the furnace, and he looks like the Son of the Living God. I'm telling you, Jesus is with you. Jesus has not left you or forsaken you. Jesus is right there taking you through. Some of you are going to come out on the other side, and it's going to astound people because you're not even going to have the smell of smoke on you. Watch this. He said, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have given Egypt to the Babylonians as your ransom. Cush and Seba is prophets in exchange for you because, listen to this, you are precious in my sight. Listen to me, church. You are precious in my sight. You are honored, and I love you. And then he says, I will give other men in return for you. You know what the word mean, the Hebrew word for men is there? It's the word Adam. 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 He said, wait a minute, Pastor. Adam sinned. No. He's talking about the last Adam. He's talking about Jesus. He said, I will give Jesus in return for you. Oh, my gosh. I will give Jesus in return for you. And other people's for the exchange of your life. I will give Jesus for the return of you. That's how valuable you are. Then he says in verse 5, do not fear, for I am with you. Now listen to this very carefully. I will bring your offspring from the east of where they are scattered and gather you from the west. And I will say up to the north, give them up. And to the south, do not hold them back. And then God says, bring my sons from far away and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made. Everyone, every generation. Do you know what he says? He says, and listen to me. So I'm going to tell you something right now. The Lord spoke to my heart in prayer concerning this. He said, many of you in this room, many of you watching right now, you have sons or maybe daughters or maybe sons and daughters that are really not serving God. Some of you have been crying out for them. Some of you have been crying out for some of your relatives, some of your nieces and your nephews. Just like I have, Tava has, some of ours. And here's what the Lord said. He said, write their names down on a piece of paper. Write their names down. Before you leave this place, even if you have to write it on an offering envelope, just write it down. And before you leave this place, you write their names down. And you bring it and you put it right here on this altar. Just all you have to do is lay it up. And just say, here they are. This is who they are. They may be in the north. They may be in the south. They may be in the east. And they may be in the west. And God said, lay them right here. And here's what we're going to do. Our intercessors are going to pray. Just like when you lay those names down, you're going to continue to pray. You're going to continue to believe God. And we're going to take these things. You see these prayer boxes on the right and the left? That's what God showed me. He said, I want you to put them in there. And every Sunday you come, call them from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Call them to be saved. Send laborers across their path. We're going to see a mighty move of God, and you're going to get phone calls, and people are going to drive in cars to come see you. They're going to come and say, Mom, Dad, my life is a mess. I need Jesus. Because the harvest is going to be great. And it shall come to pass after this, I'll pour out my spirit upon all mankind. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. And your young men, that's me, will see visions. I'm still seeing visions. If you're dreaming, you're old. But I'm still seeing visions. Notice this. Notice the generations. Again, that's the reason that we are a multi-generational church. Churches that do not embrace multi-generationals, churches that do not think generationally, will wither up, dry up, and die. But churches that are thinking the generation. See, God, ladies and gentlemen, God always thinks generationally. We think situationally. We think the situation's at hand, and we concentrate on that instead of concentrating on what God concentrates on. Because the situations that are at hand, God uses those for a testimony of His glory and His power, so we can testify to the next generation of His goodness and His grace, and that you can trust Him. But if all we do is thinking situationally, we'll never have a worldview. We'll never think, where are we going with the young people? What are we doing to save this generation? Or let me ask you this, Covenant Love, let me ask you this. Do you want this to be our testimony? Judges 2, 10 and 11, after that generation died, the Joshua generation, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things that He had done for Israel. And the Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight and served the images of Baal. That is not going to be us. We are thinking generationally. That's what we're thinking. That's the reason you hear about it later. That's the reason we've got a new project that you're going to see coming up. That's going to be right over here. And it's going to be developed to reach a generation. To reach generations. Because what we need, how many of you know it is violent and dangerous out there? How many of you know a lot of you concerned about your kids and your teenagers and things like that, where they go, what they do? What we're going to do is we're developing a safe place, an ark, a safe place. It is going to be an activity place, and it's going to be for our young people to come and to fellowship. It's going to be safe. It's going to be safe. That's what we're going to do. That's the reason there's a transition, there's a shift that's taking place right now in the spirit realm. And let me tell you this, those prayer rooms that have been developed, that Pastor Cam and Pastor Sam and all of our staff have developed those prayer rooms over there, I'm telling you, that is a place of warfare. Because we are dealing with the principalities and the powers, the rulers of darkness, who do not want Fayetteville saved. But I'm going to tell you right now, they are no match for our God. They are no match. Goliath cannot stand. Can you say amen? Look at this. I love it. I love it. Hey, by the way, let me say this. Maybe you've got somebody at your work that you are praying for, that you know that needs Jesus. Bring that down here. Write them down too. I'm going to tell you this. Anybody you can think. Matter of fact, if somebody's got a phone book, bring it down here. We'll even pray for the yellow pages. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Everybody say there's a shift. Let me tell you this. I want you to do this. Go back and listen to this. Because as you listen to it over and over again, God's going to open your eyes to this revelation of where we are in these last days, and this revelation of what God is going to do. Because I'm telling you right now, there is a move of God that is being released. The rivers are being released. And not only, we're not just going to see the early rain, we're going to see the early and the latter rain together. Honey, write Lauren's name. Bring it up here, please. Thank you, Jesus. Did y'all get this? Are y'all catching this? Are y'all catching this? Because all I'm doing as a part of the older generation is setting up what Pastor Cam and them are getting ready to show you and tell you. And ladies and gentlemen, let me just say this. Don't be ashamed to invite people to church. I mean, just the other night we were at a restaurant, and this lady that was waiting on us, the question was, hey, do you go to church anywhere? And she said, you know what? I haven't been in so long. And I was just thinking about that. How did you know that? It's the Holy Spirit. The harvest is ripe, by the way. The harvest is ripe. It's time for us to do it. Amen. I want to close. You can, as I close, you can keep bringing the names up. Just keep bringing them up. Yes, we're going to collect all these, and we're bringing them to the prayer room. We're going to pray over. And you know, God was always there setting up monuments. He set up monuments all the time, everywhere. This, we're setting up memorials. We're setting up monuments right now. Amen. They're going to be there. We're going to continue to pray, and we're going to continue to intercede. But let me just ask you this. If you've never received Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, hey, listen, and let me just say this. Folks, don't play church. There are many of people sitting in a church pew right now, if they don't get saved, going to slide right into hell. Don't play games with God in this day and time. If you have never received Jesus as the Lord, oh, you might have joined church, but have you received Jesus? If you've never received Jesus as the Lord of your life, when we dismiss, our ministers are going to come, and I want you to make your way down. Well, that's a long walk. Well, how much do you want to be saved? This is nothing concerning the journey of your life. If you've never received Jesus, or you say, Pastor, I'm not serious about God. I hadn't been serious about God. I'm kind of playing both sides. That's dangerous. You will slip. Don't play games. Don't play games with your Father who loves you so much. Get your life right together with God. Come down. Altar ministers, would you come, please? Come down and let them pray for you. And if you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, with the evidence, like it says in the Bible, of speaking in other tongues, your prayer language, come down and let them pray for you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? I just pour out to all of your mom, all of your mothers today. God bless you. We love you so much. And listen, folks, say this with me. But now, God is moving in my life, in America, and in the church. And I'm going to be a part of it. I'm not going to be a spectator. I'm going to be a participator in the name of Jesus. Can you say, and if you need healing, come down and let these anointed people pray for you. God bless you. You are dismissed. We'll see you Wednesday night.